Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Rob and I used to do radio together back at our ESPN days. Right now, Rob is working for SI. He's also doing radio for The Fan up there in New York, as well as for Sirius. And Robin, let me tell you, man, I was outside having a cigar post show. 50 Cent came on, and all of a sudden, I hadn't heard 50 willingly in quite some time. I just felt like a bully. I felt extreme confidence, and I felt like nothing mattered to me anymore. I just wanted to crap on people, and I'm like, this feels amazing. Like, I feel no social responsibility anymore. And I've been riding this for 3 days, listening to nothing but 50 Cent and not caring about another human being.
Was it the mask? I mean, you had the mask on and like ski mask play or something like that?
It might have been.
You feeling that 50 Cent bomb, bulletproof or whatnot?
It might have been. Bro, you texted me last night that we got the name change because we just did a video yesterday for SI that we did with Chris Russell, who's coming on a little bit later. And we talked all about this. I in no way thought that this would be changed so quickly. Now, you have some experience in this era. You went to University of Maryland, man. What's your reaction to all this news?
It's sort of a sign of the times, right? I mean, once that I saw that FedEx statement, I knew it was over. And I don't think they can go into this season with that name. In fact, I'm almost positive they won't go into the season with that name. But it's wild because, you know, I lived in Southern Maryland, Lusby, Maryland. I moved there when I was 12. I went to the University of Maryland, as you mentioned. And, that team is so big there. I mean, I remember when Joe Gibbs came back, it was like a holiday, around the area. So, I mean, I get that it's entrenched, right, and people are just used to it. But it's not like a new thing, right? I remember asking my dad, and I don't say this to, like, come across a certain way. It's just like it was common sense in a way. I remember asking my dad when I was a kid, like, how is it okay? You know, what if I put a different color in front of that name? Would it be okay? So, I mean, it's been wrong for a long time, but that doesn't mean, you know, what do they say? There's never the wrong time to do the right thing. I mean, we also talked about the Confederate flag with NASCAR, right? You were on with me to talk about that. And you could easily say, you know, all right, it's a sign of where we are or why all this stuff is happening that flag was there in the first place. And maybe that's emblematic of, you know, why people are standing up and saying enough is enough. But sure enough, they made a quick change there and they said, get it out of there. And I think that's what you're seeing now happen. People are saying, let's get it out of there.
You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the statues, of the Confederate statues, where you look up and you're like, wow, it's kind of incredible that hasn't been changed and rectified at this point. But the longer it stays up, the more inertia kind of kicks in. And you're like, well, I guess this is just what we're going to have to deal with for the foreseeable future. So to see it actually change is like whoa. But I guess, you know, once money gets involved, then of course that has a way of moving people. Now, how are you receiving this newfound wokeness of the NFL?
You know, it's funny too because like you don't know what the intention is, because you just referenced the money, right? The money talks so much. I mean, Daniel Snyder has been steadfast about not doing this. And it, you know, it felt like the NFL, I don't know, what was it, 3 years ago, was saying, you know, you better not kneel for the national anthem, right? Like, that's not what we do around these parts. And all of a sudden, that's flipped. And you know, two examples I think really show it the most are both Drew Brees and Roger Goodell. You know, Drew Brees had his incident and did a complete 180. And then Roger Goodell put out that statement around the same time. And I like to be of the mind of that these are people who looked outside of their own perspective. These are people that heard what others were saying to them. And these are people who are genuine. You know, that's because that's just how I want to operate. I want to be optimistic in that way. But regardless of the intent, regardless of whether or not it's genuine or why they did a 180, it is significant because it shows you where the public sentiment is now. Because no matter what, these big corporations like the NFL, like the Washington Football Team, whatever, like FedEx, like Nike, you know, when they feel that they are jeopardizing their consumer base more by taking a certain position, you know, then they're not going to take it anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you see that it has gone from, oh, we're worried about the backlash we might get for supporting this, to saying, oh, we have to support this or we're going to get the backlash.
I think that's a really significant point. And, I've said if you don't support it for economic reasons, then you turn around and support it. I'm going to assume it's for economic reasons. But the fact that economic reasons have now shifted to make it something that you should support is something that is very significant. Now, you obviously are a huge NBA fan as well. I don't know where you're at as far as your adoption of the Lakers as a LeBron stan. As you know, mm-hmm. I'm uncomfortable as a Lakers fan. I was a Kobe guy, so I've been looking at LeBron out of the corner of my eye for a very long time, man. How do you handicap their chances in this restart?
Look, I mean, you know it, whether you would want to admit it or not. The fact that they have LeBron probably makes them the favorite going into a format like this, right? I mean, because if you're going to put your chips on one guy who you believe in playoff series can have the most impact, or who will be prepared, or who will, you know, put the mind state on to everybody around his team to be prepared, it's going to be LeBron. And he looked like he was on a mission before. And I think, you know, he's going to incorporate so many things into his motivation. Not only was it the Wash King thing and being in year 17, then you had the Last Dance and everybody was like celebrating Michael Jordan's legacy again. And now I think he sees, you know, a moment to capture the attention of the nation and the world. So, I mean, look, there's going to be plenty of teams that have a chance to win. The Clippers are really good. The Bucks are really good. And it's going to be unpredictable how it plays out because we've never seen anything like this. But in the playoffs, with a healthy LeBron James and a rested LeBron James, I think you have to have, you know, you have to give the Lakers as good a chance as anybody, and they're probably the favorites going in.
How much do you think that bothered him, having to sit back in June when he expected to be his time and watch everybody falling over MJ?
Yeah, you know, it bothered him. He played it off really well, right? Because he was the one that sort of said publicly they should release it early and everything. But, you know, like, remember in the Jordan, the propaganda piece? No, I really enjoyed The Last Dance, by the way. But remember in the one episode, I thought
well,
there was
look,
one.
Well, look, I'm a Pippen guy, so I had my issues with it from that perspective.
But you remember that one episode they did that unnecessary side bit about LeBradford Smith?
Yes.
Where, like, it was, like, supposed to impress you that, like, Michael Jordan took something personally against LeBradford Smith, but that's the way some of these guys are wired. And they're not exactly all the same. I mean, obviously, LeBron and Jordan don't behave in exactly the same way, but they're both hyper-focused competitors. And I'm sure you just, you know, that was a log, a really big log that LeBron threw on his motivational fire, because I think he knows if he wins a title this year, it would make him, you know, the first superstar, I believe, who's ever won with three different franchises. And he would have won if, like, you just go back to everything that's happened since he went to the Lakers. It's wild. And you don't even want to list it all off, but it's wild. So, you know, in arguments, it would be easy to boost the value of this title to a really high level. And I think it would be, you know, some of the people would start drawing. You know, I've been a LeBron as the best player ever guy for a while. But some people would use that as just like they were using The Last Dance as the marker to say Jordan's still the GOAT. I think there'll be a lot of people who, if LeBron is able to win with the Lakers, get that fourth title, do it with a third franchise, will use that as the marker to say he's past Jordan.
You've been wrong about that for a very long time. I'll give you that. You are certainly consistent. I don't know how you made it through all 5 weeks of The Last Dance intact with your LeBron is still the GOAT, but you managed to. And you know what? I'm not even mad. I'm impressed.
It was a content fountain, man. You think I was mad about The Last Dance?
That's funny. All right. What do you got? What do you got coming up soon? Because I know you manage to be a like impressively hardworking dude in a city of impressively hardworking people. So what all you got?
Oh, well, you know, I do SI every Monday through Friday, videos for SI.com. You can check that out. I'm coming up a little bit later today, actually. You know, I don't want to conflict with where you're at, but I'm on Sirius at 6 every Saturday morning. I'm on CBS Sports Radio, and like I said, I've been doing a bunch for Sirius as well. So appreciate the plugs, man.
Of course, man. Thank you. And when we do, by the way, is Robin and Reese got laid off? Is that still on the internet somewhere?
I think they put those on YouTube, right? I'm pretty sure we could find it.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it exists somewhere, yeah.
We made a short web series shortly after losing our jobs, and it lasted until one of us actually got a job.
Who got the job first? Do you remember? Who got the job first?
I'm pretty sure it was you, because I laid out for quite some time.
Well, that's what you were still getting. You were getting paid for a long time.
Yeah. yes, I was. Those were the days. Those were the days. All right, say hello to the family, man. Thank you for joining me.
I will, man. Appreciate it, my dude.
All right, Robin Lundberg, make sure you follow him online. I see you, Michael, Jonathan, and Slack coming to you when I get back. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. My man, Slack, you're up next. But first, I'm going to start in Fairfax. Jonathan, what is going on? You're saying this is the perfect storm for the Redskins. Please explain.
Yeah, hi, Reese. Good to hear from you, and I hope you have a nice 4th of July.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, it is the perfect storm. If you look at it, okay, we've got all the social change going on in the world. It's also the beginning of a new decade. The Redskins coming off basically their worst season in a long time, I think since 1993, when they were also 3-13 or 4-12. So you can't really go any lower. Then you hire a very excellent coach with a very good track record. You bring in a quarterback last year who's got a lot of great potential. You know, you bring in his buddy, the receiver. He makes some nice picks this year, including another one of their teammates. Two of those guys are local. This is the perfect storm, the perfect time to, in a business sense, redo your whole business and give people hope and a reason to come back. It's like a restaurant that was great for years, fell on some hard times, the key chef left, the owner left, and now you need to do a restart. This could actually work out over the next decade very well for the Redskins if it's embraced by Snyder and the folks on the inside.
You know, Jonathan, you raise a very interesting point, and it's something I thought that, if Snyder in his heart of hearts really wanted to change the name, maybe because out of some moral obligation or what would probably be much more likely if he felt that way, additional dollars from all of the money that he would get in a rebrand and people buying gear and all that kind of stuff, he would need to wait until social external pressure was so strong that the perception would be that his hand was forced. He couldn't have give the appearance that he had any part to play in the changing of the name because of how the fan base, how protective many of them were of the name, and of course, because of his precarious position within them. So to your point, this does provide the perfect opportunity if, in fact, he did want to change it all along. And it sounds like the kind of thing that probably was going to be inevitable. And this sounds like a good time to do it.
Yeah, I think again, and if they perform very well on the field, let's say they go 8-8 this year and 10-6 next year, and they start on an upward track where they're like Andy Reid, his team's in Philly, and then, you know, in 5 or 6 years, if they're ever playing for the Super Bowl, this would be deemed a tremendous success. And if you're Snyder, this is kind of what you got to believe can happen. And you can't get any lower than basically 3-13. So this is, to me, the perfect time to do it. Because if they had a successful run like the Patriots, they're not changing any name. Because, there's no reason to, in my opinion, unless this was forced again. But I don't think the league would force it on them if they were consistent 3-13 and 3 type team.
Well, it goes both ways, because if they were a successful – look, this debate pops up whenever the team is relevant. This is the first time it popped up when we weren't relevant because we're not even playing. But if you recall, this popped up the RG3 year. This propped up the Ty Collins year. Like any year when the Redskins are at all nationally relevant, this issue gains more legs. So it's quite possible we might have gotten to this point a lot sooner if this was a team that had been perennially competitive.
Interesting. Oh, yeah, that's possible. Yeah, but, sometimes change is good. And this gives them the so-called cover to maybe do it and make some effective change. And he'll probably make a few dollars in his pocket, too.
There you go. Of course, he's not going to miss that. All right, Jonathan, I appreciate you, man.
Thank you, and happy 4th.
Happy 4th as well. I'm going to go to my man Slack in D.C. Slack, what is happening?
Yo, Reese, it's not Slack. It's Slack, dude. What's up?
Oh, man. Come on. I thought you were going incognito. I thought you were doing
were
a whole...
Were you trying to make me go? Were you trying to make me go incognito?
Yeah, I thought you were going to do a whole, you zig and I zag kind of thing.
Oh, I got you. Instead of Eric, you can call me Derek or something like that. Derek Flack.
What's going on, man? Eric Flack.
This is finally happening. I can't believe it.
Yeah, man. Did you think that this would happen in your lifetime?
Man, I got to the point about 2 or 3 years ago where I became kind of like nonpartisan on the issue. Like, I would still say the name, but if they wanted to change it, I saw the reasons why. So it didn't bother me either way. But kind of like Darren said earlier, after the George Floyd thing, I stopped saying the name. I realized, if we're going to, as a country, do a whole racial reckoning, we cannot have the Washington football team continue to have this name with it, offends one person, 1,000 people, or 1,000,000 people. Like, it's just, it's not what we're trying to do as a nation. So, I mean, I thought it would happen eventually. I did not think it would. Two days ago when this started, I'd be like, yeah, good luck. Snyder's never going to change it. But like everybody else yesterday, when FedEx and them came out with it, I was like, well, this could finally happen. So I got a question for you, though. Are we going to still – we can't rock our gear anymore, right? Because I know you got that sweet jacket. I feel like you got an old-school throwback jersey like I do. We can't wear that stuff anymore, can we?
That's a good point. Well, first of all, to what you said about FedEx, isn't it wild that shows you the power of money and corporate interests that people have lobbied and taken them to court and literally done everything possible that citizens can do for decades, but then FedEx is like, yeah, you should change it. They're like, okay, yeah, we probably should.
Well, I think it's a little bit more nuanced than that.
Well, it is, but I mean,
because it took the George Floyd and the impact from that, the racial reckoning we're having as a country, for FedEx to say, oh, wait, your name is racist, you need to change it. Did FedEx not know what the name was when they bought the naming rights?
And that's where I am with a lot of this stuff. Like, did we not know that this dude fought for the Confederacy before we put the statue up? And it was still up yesterday, you know? So there's a lot of that's been happening. And so, anyway.
I mean, you're right. You're right about the money. I mean, the money was, but there are reports, and I mean, I don't have any insight, but there are reports that Snyder has been now talking about this for a couple weeks with the NFL. So is he trying to make himself look good, like FedEx, Nike, all these people come out of the woodwork, and he was like, oh, no, I'm already on this. Or has he actually been paying attention? I don't know.
Well, look, I did say that short of winning a Super Bowl, which he cannot do, changing the name is the only thing that would have prevented his entire ownership period not to be called the sad years on the Wikipedia entry for the team. So that was the only thing that would cause them to end the past period and start a whole new chapter. It was the only thing he could do.
I mean, it's so bad at this point that honestly, it could end up being a blessing in disguise for him. Because the things can't get any worse. So just rebooting the whole thing with a name change honestly seems to make sense to me. I mean, the racist stuff aside, obviously it needed to happen for, you know, humanitarian reasons.
Right.
But, I mean, it's time to burn the house down and start over.
Speaking of burning, man, I don't think so about the gear. You know, somebody earlier said, why don't we have one last season as the Redskins, and then that'll give us some more time to make a good, reasoned decision on what the name is going to be. And I said, yeah, that makes sense in a utopia, but in our society, we would just get dragged for going to the games and wearing the gear for the intermediate period. We would all just be just get trashed every all eight home games. So that can't happen.
Bro, we can't sing the song anymore.
Yeah.
When I took my son to the one FedEx Field game I took him to, just so we went to a pro football game, we got rolled by the Falcons. The two positive memories I had were the, you know, tailgating with him beforehand in the empty parking lot so we could, like, throw the football because there were no cars around. And singing Hail to the Red, you know, Hail to the Skins, whatever, when they scored the one touchdown they scored. But that was, like, a thing, you know, and that's gone too. That's actually the thing I'm most sad about. But the reason I called and asked was he was in my basement, and I have a old school, like from when we were good, pennant up on the wall. And I've talked to them about the name, you know, for a couple of weeks. I was like, we don't say this anymore. And he's like, Dad, do we have to take this down? And I was like, I guess we do.
Well,
you know, I don't understand. I don't know.
It'll be like when you went into your great grandmother's basement and you found those pictures of a mammy. It'll be when your son's grandchildren go into your basement and they find all your Redskins gear. It's like, wow, I had no idea he was racist.
Yeah, I had no idea Pops was a complete racist. Maybe I should box it up a little bit, hide it away a little bit better.
Hey, you got a story coming up we can plug? You got something juicy?
Man, you know, I just always working on that stop and frisk stuff and racial imbalances with the people who are stopped and frisked by MPD, DC police. So there's a lot of research they're supposed to be doing into the data, which I'm finding they're not doing. So I got some on that coming up in about a week.
All right. Fair enough. We'll make sure we pump that out, man. Thank you for calling. I appreciate all the work you do. You were on top of this stuff early.
All right. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Thanks, man. I'm going to be back with my man, the Rooster, Chris Russell, Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. I am joined by my man, the Rooster, Chris Russell. We had a fantastic conversation with Robin Lumberg of Sports Illustrated, who actually just came on. And, you know, you actually said something that I took with me since then when you were talking about the idea that in order for this to change, Dan Snyder would have to do something that, by and large, the people that were supporting his business, the fan base, didn't support. And I said, you know what? That's a really profound point that I feel like more people need to talk about more, because that's really the wheels of change right there. So what do you think's happened between our conversation and today?
Yeah, I mean, Reese, first of all, it's good to be with you, number one, yesterday, today, and everything. I've been listening off and on while I was doing everything that I have to do for my other gigs, but great show so far, so let's start there. Number two, I would say a lot of the things I said yesterday morning, they should just burn that tape, you know, because, I mean, I was way off and I was wrong on a bunch of different things. So let me just clarify and say that, right? So here's where I'm at on this. I've always felt that Dan would only do this if he was absolutely forced. Now, there's nobody holding a gun to his head that I know of, that, you know, it's a proverbial gun to his head. Mm-hmm. But if we're going to think that Dan is doing this out of the kindness of his own heart because he's had a sudden come to whatever moment, and that all of a sudden he realizes how evil the Redskins name is, and how bad it is, and how hurtful it's been to some, and that he wants to make, you know, a lot of people that have criticized him, called him, you know, a racist, called him different things, and quite honestly, some unfair things. He's not doing this out of the kindness of his heart. He's doing this because he feels he has no other choice. And I would just say this. I think this has been a thought in his head, from what I understand, for longer than people realized. I think it was part of the reason that helped get Bruce Allen out of here, because he saw no new stadium, a terrible product on the field, and even when it wasn't terrible, it was mediocre. He saw a lot of dysfunction and a lot of bad decisions and a lot of chaos, and then he saw the problem with the name just getting a bigger and bigger and bigger divide amongst anyone that cared. And you had, you know, some Native Americans that were offended. You had a lot of media that were offended. You had some fans that were offended. And then you have the rest of the fan base, who is so, dug in, and they love the Washington Redskins, not the Washington Dan Snyders. They love the Washington Redskins. So I think when he kind of contemplated all of that, and I know this is a long-winded answer, and the business implications of finally and potentially losing some really, really big corporate sponsors, I think that started to tip the scales, and maybe this was in the works for a little bit more than yesterday. That's what they're all saying. But the bottom line is I don't think all of a sudden, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, if you gave Dan Snyder truth serum, that he would have told you, oh, yeah, absolutely, I really want to do this, and I'm going to do this perhaps before the 2020 season starts.
Wow, that is really interesting to think that this might have been something that was in his head, but then something that he also at the same time felt cornered and forced to do. That kind of implies some amount of foresight or knowledge of self, which we have not really up to this point seen or understood from Mr. Snyder. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, listen, that's only what I heard, okay, through multiple people. So I'll just leave it at that, you know, I trust them. They're familiar with how Dan operates and Dan thinks, and people in the building know how Dan operates and Dan thinks. I don't think this just came up yesterday, but I don't think Dan is willingly wanting to do this, is, I guess, the best way I could put it. I think he felt cornered, trapped, pressured, and it looks like he's going to succumb to pressure, because here's the other thing. Real quickly, Reese, you know this. He didn't have a lot of other revenue streams. Mm-hmm. The Redskins are it. You know, he failed at Johnny Rockets. He failed at Six Flags. He failed at Tom Cruise in the movies. He failed at a lot of things. And some would say he's failed miserably with the Redskins. The one thing that's bailed him out is the NFL and the TV contracts and, you know, a couple of good years here and there and a couple of big name coaches and Robert Griffin. And that's allowed him to have a standalone business, essentially, and to build this empire. But he's not rich like Stan Kroenke rich. Mm-hmm. He's not rich like Jerry Jones rich. So he can't afford the body blows that he was about to take, in my opinion.
Interesting. That is interesting. All right. Now, moving forward, are there any of these names that either A, you like, or B, you feel like have the inside track? I know you hear whispers.
Right. I have no inside track on the actual name. However, I was told by one of my sources that Dan would ideally like to keep the logo, the shield, and a tribute in some way to the Native American, you know, history and heritage of the franchise. That's what I was told this afternoon by a couple of different people. But I don't know exactly what name they're leaning towards. I just don't know that yet. I'm trying to get that. So here's the thing that, and I just put up a column. One of my colleagues, George Carmi, put this up at RedskinsReport.com, which people should check out as well, in addition to our great coverage at TheFanDC.com. So I just put up like this list of five names. The one name from his list that speaks to me more is, and I know you love what, the Red Tails, right?
I like Red Tails, Warriors, and Bravehearts.
Okay, so I can't do anything that has any connection to the former or the still current name or then the former name, and anything that potentially could be divisive down the line. And what I mean by divisive is, you know, like if all of a sudden somebody wakes up and they says, well, you know, the Warriors is a name we don't like. It's offensive. It's this, it's that. I can't change this name again in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, whatever years it might be. And it could be 50 years. Who knows? I can't do that. I have to have something so safe, so neutral, so generic, so vague. And I know they won't do this because they don't think with common sense like I try to. I can't be put in a position like I'm now put in this position where I have to do something I really don't want to do. So I've got to come up with something so neutral and, again, so non-offensive that I can't go, in my opinion, Red Hawks, Warriors, any connotation of anything, again, that can be turned against me. Red Tails, I kind of like that. I kind of like that. But the one that speaks to me from a, again, a DC thing and from a neutral perspective, and again, nobody's going to love it, is the Washington Freedom. You know, like, we're free of the past. We're free in 2020 and beyond. We have freedom as a country to do what we love and to pursue what passions we have. And again, I don't expect anybody to like that, but to me, that speaks to DC, the heritage, the history a little bit of Washington, D.C., of this country, and it's, again, totally neutral and totally uncontroversial now, and I believe, I have to believe, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, so that I never have to deal with this again.
But you know what, Rooster? Thanks to the Wizards, it'll never be the worst name, regardless of how they feel about
it. That's fair. That's the kind way of you saying that freedom sucks. Huh?
No, I mean, you know, you got somebody propping you up. That's all.
I want you to come on my show tomorrow morning, and because I know you're starting to run on low on time. I want you to come on tomorrow morning so we can kind of kick this around because this is fascinating. I don't know if you saw the odds from Odds Shark. I mean, Presidents is like the leader in the clubhouse, the Washington Presidents.
Oh, really?
Look, I'm not saying Washington Freedom is great. I get it. Ooh, I'm a Freedom fan. Go Freedom! Probably not. But here's what I'm not doing. Even though, again, it would be symbolic of what city we live in and what city they ideally want to build a stadium in, I don't know if Washington Presidents is the right thing to do. Washington Generals is second. Well, that might be trademarked by the lousy opponent of the Harlem Globetrotters. Pete and I talked about that this morning. So there's a whole bunch of different options. But to me, it's fascinating now that we're 95% sure, maybe 98% sure, that this damn thing is happening and it might happen in, like, next week.
And then talk about a sorry legacy. The Washington Generals, my goodness.
Yeah.
It doesn't get worse than that. Yeah. All right, Rooster, I appreciate you, man. You're on tomorrow?
Yeah, 9 to 11. So I'll reach out to you on, because I, you know, I don't want to give you, get your number on the air. So I'll just have Sean text me your number.
Okay.
And I'll reach out to you and we'll figure it out.
All right, sounds good.
All right, thanks, pal.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Reese.
All right, we'll be back with World Series Rewind. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. It is time for the World Series Rewind. Today we feature September 24th, a game against the Philadelphia Phillies. This was game two of a doubleheader. The Nats would win 6-5, improving their record to 88-69. For our highlight, it is Trey Turner's go-ahead grand slam in the sixth inning, as well as the final out as the Nats clinched the wild card berth and waited on the field for the Cubs to eventually lose. The Nats swept the doubleheader against Philadelphia and formally turned a 13-31 start into a playoff berth. Down 4-2 in the sixth, Trey Turner belted a go-ahead grand slam that would in turn officially eliminate Bryce Harper's Philadelphia Phillies. It was Turner's 18th home run of the season and his second career Grand Slam. The Cubs would go on to lose 9-2 in Pittsburgh as a team watch on the video board, and the Nats punched their ticket. Of note, we saw a rematch of Hunter Strickland against Bryce Harper, and Harper won the battle as he jacked a 98-mile-per-hour fastball in the second deck.
The right-hander sets. He holds and he pitches. Swinging a long drive, left center field, way, way back there, toward the wall. It's a grand slam! And the Nationals lead, 6-4. They are going crazy at Nationals Park as the Nationals draw closer to clinching a postseason spot. And Trey Turner is dancing in the dugout, and they are dancing in the stands here at Nationals Park. What a moment for Trey Turner. One ball, one strike to Franco. The kick, and here it comes. Swinging a fly ball left center field toward the gap. Robles racing on the run. He makes the catch. He makes the catch. A spectacular catch to end the ball game. And a curly W's in the books. The Nationals have swept both games of the doubleheader, and now the game in Pittsburgh is on the video board immediately here at Nationals Park. And so while the Nationals are on the field to celebrate a curly W in the books, they will watch, they will stand on the field. And the game in Pittsburgh is now on the Nationals board here at Nationals Park. So a one ball, two strike count on Schwarber. Kella delivers, and Schwarber hits a ground ball to the right side to throw to first. That game is over, and the celebration is on. The Nationals will go to the National League wild card game. The Nationals already in a mob and a hop and a jump halfway between home and first base. And here at Nationals Park, the fans who have waited for this moment get to see the Nationals celebrate on the field. A curly W's in the books. The Nationals will go to the postseason for the fifth time in their history. And now, congratulations all over again. Hugs, and the Nationals anticipate a celebration, champagne, and whatever else that will take place inside their clubhouse.
All right, hopefully that was just champagne. That was your World Series rewind. Shout out to Sean. Thank you for keeping me honest and keeping me on top of it. Thank you to all my guests. I'll be back on the 12th, Sunday the 12th at noon. You can follow me on social media at Reese Waters, R-E-E-S-E-W-A-T-E-R-S. You can catch me tomorrow morning with Rooster from 9 to 11. And then at 11, I'll be doing my show on Facebook as well as YouTube. You can follow me at Reese Waters there as well. I've been Reese Waters. Do yourself a favor. Listen to 50 Cent. You'll feel better than everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.